Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at this article that was in the Washington Post, titled Shut Up and Play Nice, How the Western World is Limiting Free Speech, an article that was written by an attorney by the name of Jonathan Turley. And as we mentioned, Jonathan Turley is not some wild-eyed right-winger, as Chris Matthews would probably say. He is actually quite liberal in his politics. Mm-hmm. However, I think he catches on to something that's happening in our culture that we as Christians should be made aware of. And so this is why we felt it important to go through some of the things that he is saying about free speech and its coming limitations, especially in the area of religious expression. How does that affect us? Well, as Bible-believing Christians, if you have a desire to preach the gospel, if you have a desire to share your faith, you need to pay attention to what's going on. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. If they were to make a law today that it would be illegal to preach the gospel, let's be serious, Eric. Most Christians wouldn't even feel it because they don't.
Right.
They don't preach the gospel. Shame on them.
Well, a lot of them don't want to offend anybody.
And that's kind of what we're talking about here, because offense is a huge issue when it comes to limiting the free speech of people who want to express their views that might conflict with what someone else might already believe. What are we looking at today? He talks about when speech is blasphemous.
He writes, "This is the oldest threat to free speech, but it has experienced something of a comeback in the 21st century. After protests erupted throughout the Muslim world in 2005 over Danish cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad, Western countries publicly professed fealty to free speech, yet quietly cracked down on anti-religious expression. Religious critics in France, Britain, Italy, and other countries have found themselves under criminal investigation as threats to public safety."
Threats to public safety. Now, notice what he says here, folks. He says that Western countries publicly profess fealty or a loyalty to free speech, but yet at the same time, they wanted to crack down on people who expressed or used that free speech when it tended to say some things that cause certain people to behave badly. Now, here's the point. They're behaving badly. Who are the ones that really should be corrected? I would think it's the ones who are behaving badly. The idea of reacting violently to people who say things that you might happen to disagree with, as I expressed before, shows an immaturity on your part. But in some religions, especially Islam, they feel that they have this duty to protect Muhammad. They have this duty to protect Allah. And so they react in such a violent way. For us in a Western mindset, this is hard for us to wrap our heads around.
Now notice, we're talking about free speech, not free actions. Mm-hmm. Actions that involve violence and harm to other people, obviously, if things get out of control. But as far as the speech, the old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, words can hurt, but you have the ability to talk back and to answer the accusations that are being made.
And that's unfortunately what is not really happening in the Islamic world, is because they would much rather respond with the violence. Why? Because it intimidates you. It intimidates you into being silent. I was reading a dialogue with Lawrence O'Donnell. He was actually expressing his fear of Islam, how he would much rather criticize Mormons because he knows they're not going to respond violently towards him. What hypocrisy. What hypocrisy. I'm not going to say anything bad about you because I know you're probably going to respond and say bad things about me. Maybe burn down my TV studio. I don't know. But I will talk about the Mormons because I know they won't react that same way. We've had people accuse us, well, you go after the Mormons because you know they won't react violently, but you won't speak about Islam. Obviously, the person writing this doesn't know me, okay? I mean, I have spoken out on this. It does bother me. I've been in front of the mosque. I know what's going on. And I know that you know, when you talk to these people, that they don't really like what you have to say, and they respond in a way that I find is very unbecoming. Okay, that's just not the way in a Western culture that we behave when people disagree with us. But that's the way it is. But do we let that bad behavior infringe on our rights to be able to speak our mind? This is a big issue right now.
The next part says, some Western countries have classic blasphemy laws, such as Ireland, which in 2009 criminalized the, quote, publication or utterance of blasphemous matter, end quote, deemed, quote, grossly abusive or insulting in relation to matters held sacred by any religion, end quote. The Russian Duma recently proposed a law against, quote, insulting religious beliefs, end quote. Other countries allow the arrest of people who threaten strife by criticizing religions or religious leaders. In Britain, for instance, a 15-year-old girl was arrested 2 years ago for burning a Quran.
Now, the question I want to ask our listeners, is this really what you want to see happening in the United States? Because this troubles me. I don't go for blasphemy laws, okay? But yet, sometimes when I listen to Mormons, when I'm talking to them on the streets, or when they're being interviewed, especially when the outreach that was up in Brigham City, I almost get the impression that some Mormons would secretly not mind that when it comes to criticism of their faith. But let's say that someone pushed the issue of the first vision and said, look, when Joseph Smith said that all the churches were wrong, their creeds are an abomination, and their professors are corrupt, if somebody was to push the issue and say, hey, wait a minute, that's hate speech. That needs to be curtailed. You shouldn't be able to say that. You are making fun of our pastors. You are making fun of my beliefs, my creeds. Right. You're mocking our churches. And I think you ought to be stopped. What do you think a Mormon would do in that case? What?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't do that. But you see, this is why we need to be careful. Exactly. It goes both ways. This is why we need to thoughtfully look at this issue and make an informed decision and be very careful because, as I understand as a Bible-believing Christian, what I am advocating, of course, is the freedom for someone to not like what I happen to believe as a Christian. Well, that means I better be mature enough that when they say things that I disagree with, I don't react violently. Hopefully, I will react with some cogent type of rebuttal.
We do this all the time.
We do it all the time. Exactly. This is why we're used to what we're saying here. We are practicing what we're preaching here, folks, because we do it every day. We get these kind of accusations all the time. They are unfounded. They are unfounded, but yet we hear them. Just because somebody accuses you of something doesn't necessarily mean their accusation is accurate. And this is the problem that we have with these blasphemy laws that are going around. It's automatically you are guilty just because you raised an objection. Do we really want that in the United States? Is this where we're headed here? Do we really want government agencies monitoring what is said across a Christian pulpit on issues that we consider moral issues and assuming that somehow they're actually political issues? And using that to try to shut down the free speech that we so enjoy in this nation right now.
Well, I'm going to skip a couple of paragraphs, if you don't mind, Bill, and I'm going to go to where I think this is a really important. At a Washington conference last year to implement the resolution, referring to a resolution.
It was had a long name. It was the Combating Intolerance, Negative Stereotyping, and Stigmatization of and Discrimination, Incitement to Violence, and Violence Against Persons Based on Religion or Belief. Who comes up with these titles?
You said that in one breath. I'm impressed.
That was hard.
But in response to that, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton declared that it would protect both, quote, the right to practice one's religion freely and the right to express one's opinion without fear, end quote. But it isn't clear how speech can be protected if the yardstick is how people react to speech, particularly in countries where people riot over a single cartoon.
That is an excellent point.
It is.
It is a dilemma. It is a real, real dilemma that lawmakers are having to face because what's going to be considered more important? The ability to speak your mind, which of course is the foundation of what this country is all about. Or if you speak your mind and you incite violence and you let the violence, the potential violence, curb how you look at your free speech, that's troubling, because if that's the way it works, what do you think is going to happen with people who want to react violently? They're just to increase it.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they know that the violence is going to curb the speech, they're going to increase it. They're not going to cause it to be less. Mm-hmm. It's going to get worse.
Well, then he goes on and says, Clinton suggested that free speech resulting in, quote-unquote, sectarian clashes or, quote, the destruction of or the defacement or the vandalization of religious sites, end quote, was not, as she puts it, quote, fair game. Given this initiative, President Obama's UN address last month declaring America's support for free speech, while laudable, seems confused, even at odds with his administration's efforts.
It is. It is confusing. Because when I hear our government officials acting like they really are in support of free speech, but at the same time, I'm listening very carefully, and boy, believe me, I was listening very carefully, that free speech should not go to this type of level. I go, oh, wow, who is going to make that distinction? I remember when I was in Russia and I was speaking with a Russian journalist and a very high official in the Russian Orthodox Church. And this journalist was saying how that the Mormons were coming in, and they were worried about the Mormons coming into Russia. And he says, they ought to make a law against them. And I'm going, no. No, you don't want to make a law against them. You want to be able to educate your people in order to have a sound response to things that they say that you might disagree. And it was interesting because as he was saying they ought to make a law, I'm thinking, here's this Russian Orthodox person over here. He doesn't like me either, okay? He doesn't like me, and he doesn't like what I believe. And I thought, who's going to be making those decisions on liberty and free speech in Russia? I was actually going to bat for the Mormons on this one, as much as I dislike the Mormon faith and the doctrines that it teaches.
As a side note, the Jehovah's Witnesses, it was illegal to be in Russia during those many years, but they went underground, and actually, once it became free, they sprouted up all over the place. So it didn't make the problem go away just because they were banned.
No, it won't make the problem go away. It has to be handled in a mature manner. And let's just face it, folks, we live in a fallen world. We're going to have disagreements. Some people are going to be right, some are going to be wrong, but we should have the ability to discuss this. Tomorrow, we're going to look at the part of this article where he deals specifically when speech is hateful. And this is very important because, as we've mentioned so far, this is a common complaint that we hear from Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to visit the Holy Land? If so, we've got an opportunity for you. Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson from Mormonism Research Ministry will be hosting a trip to Israel and Turkey in February 2015. We start with an optional 7-day trip to Turkey, as we'll see the 7 churches of Revelation, including Ephesus, Laodicea, and Pergamum. Then, we head to Israel for 11 days, where we'll see amazing sights such as Caesarea, Upper Galilee, the Dead Sea, and Jerusalem. There'll be a special Joel Kramer Day as we climb up to Cave 1 in Qumran and see some incredible biblical sites. Your price includes airfare, 3- and 4-star hotels, professional guides and bus drivers, buffet meals, and all taxes and tips. To learn more, we invite you to visit mrm.org and click on the Israel icon in the top right-hand corner of the page. Every family who signs up receives a complimentary copy of Joel Kramer's Jericho Unearthed. Again, please visit mrm.org to find out more about this exciting trip. No doubt, an experience that will forever change your life.